John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. I've titled the message this morning, Living Life Abundantly. From verse 10 in our text of John 10, Living Life Abundantly. But I want to begin reading in verse 1, and I'll read down through verse 30. The Bible says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews round about and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Living life abundantly. In order to live life abundantly, one of the things that we definitely need to understand from this passage of Scripture is that it is not talking about having a perfect life of health and wealth, an endless bank account, if you will. Abundant does mean plentiful, lavish, or rich. However, this name-it and claim-it crowd has got it wrong when they pervert Scripture in such a manner as to try and make anyone believe that what God is all about, excuse me, is making your life completely comfortable and satisfying. That's not what this passage of Scripture is saying. And we'll look at another passage of Scripture that is often distorted and used to try and convince people that if they would just give more or do more, that somehow God wants to make them wealthy and not ever sick and ever have to, you know, go to the hospital or have a financial burden or need. And he's just going to take care of them and everything's going to be peachy and wonderful. That's not what this is talking about. That's not even close to what it means to live life more abundantly. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." How often do you hear those in the name it and claim it crowd talk about those verses? Right? No, God wants to make you rich. You know, God wants to keep you healthy and never have any burdens or pains. No, that's not anything close to what it means to living life abundantly. It's really more about our attitude and how we approach life. Now, I do believe God intends for us to enjoy this life here on this earth. But that enjoyment is not predicated by our economic, social, or physical well-being. Just because you're healthy, just because financially you're not in any debt or you're taken care of, just because things are going well for you, socially, you're doing well in your job, you've gotten a promotion, that doesn't mean that you have an abundant life. That doesn't mean that you're not blessed, but it's not the same thing. And those that would try and pervert the scripture or twist the scripture to make that what the Bible is talking about are doing a disservice. Completely different from what God is wanting us to understand about living an abundant life. Living life abundantly is realizing that God has a purpose and a plan for us. And He is at work in and through our lives. And the more we yield to His work, the more we are able to live life abundantly. We must live an abundant life by following God's plan. The way that we live an abundant life is we understand that, first of all, an abundant life is a life of freedom. A life of freedom. In John chapter 10, verse 1 through 5, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And we're going to hear this repeated. "He that entereth in," verse 2, "but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." In verse 27, the beginning of the verse says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." An abundant life is a life of freedom. Someone who has freedom is someone who can come and go as they please. Think about the jails and prisons today. Are those folks free? No. They can't come and go as they please. They don't have freedom. Think about people in countries like North Korea. Do they have freedom? Now, the government will tell you, yeah, they have freedom. But no, they don't. They cannot come and go as they please. There's a demarcation line from North Korea to South Korea. They don't just go back and forth. There's no freedom. A thief is not someone that has freedom. Anybody in here invite any thieves over? Yeah, just come and go as you please, you know. A thief has to be what? Sly and sneaky. They don't have freedom to come and go as they please. Jesus says to us in verse 9, I am the door. What he is telling us is that he is the key to our freedom. He is the access point to our freedom in this world and in the world to come. He is the means by which we gain freedom and therefore a more abundant life. Some important verses for you and I to consider. John chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Truth and freedom go hand in hand and are at one in the person of Jesus Christ. This means that an abundant life of freedom comes from an abundant life of truth. Again, John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36, the Bible says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. An abundant life is a life of freedom, a life of truth. Our freedom in this life comes from knowing the truth about what Christ has done for us and receiving him into our lives. Then we become free to live our lives for him and for his righteousness' sake. In Romans chapter 6, the Bible says in beginning in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or that truth which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Again, our freedom is how we live a more abundant life. The Bible continues, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This past holiday, we celebrated Christmas, the birth of Christ. And of course, traditionally here in America, we celebrate that by putting up a tree, putting up lights, getting gifts, putting presents under the tree, stockings, different food, right? Perhaps you have children, or perhaps you no children that you got gifts for. And in preparation for getting those gifts, maybe you had a conversation that went something like this. What do you want? What is something that you would really like to have? Have you ever asked a child what it is they need? Have you ever asked an adult what it is that they need? Now, in the mind of a child, first of all, think about this. A child thinks they need certain things, right? They need toys, right? They need a video game. They need, right, something. As adults, we can kind of get the same way, right? When we think of what we need, I need, you know, a boat. I need a jet ski. Or a snowmobile, maybe that's more appropriate for up here. Right? Our needs, are they really our needs? Rarely, in America especially, will you hear that somebody's needs are for food, for heat, or clothing or shelter as a response. Although those are some needs. And again, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying nobody has those needs. I'm saying, what is the difference between what we think is a need and what is an actual need? God knows our needs. And He takes care of us the same way that you and I take care of our children and children that are around us. In John chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full or abundant. Now, it's interesting. The beginning of this, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Again, this is a passage of Scripture that likes to be perverted. And say, look, hey, God wants to give you everything in life. God wants to bless you and take care of so many things and make you rich. That's not what the verses say. First of all, it says, if ye abide in me and my words or my truth abides in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Again, referring to our needs. What does the Bible continue to say? It says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. What if, when you asked someone what their needs were? Think of somebody. And they say, what are your needs? Thank you. I need some water. Somebody says, what are your needs? Or you ask someone, what is it that you need? And they said, I need more wisdom. When's the last conversation you had with somebody and you got down to talking about needs? And maybe you were feeling generous and you say, what is it that you need? And they said, you know, I just really need more holiness in my life. I really need to bear more fruit, more spiritual fruit in my life. I need more of God's righteousness. When was the last time you had a conversation like that? That is what an abundant life of freedom sounds like. When God makes us free, what he's saying is, hey, I'm taking care of your needs. Here's what you need. You need more holiness. You need more wisdom. You need more grace. You need more faith. But yet, when we think about our needs, how often are those the types of thoughts that we have and reflect on and think about? Or even dare to share? A person who's living an abundant life of freedom knows the truth and has received it and is living for the righteousness of God. An abundant life is a life of freedom. Not only is an abundant life a life of freedom, but an abundant life is a life of forgiveness. Again, in our text of John chapter 10, in verse 4, the Bible says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Again, verse 27, the Bible says, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. When Jesus called the disciples to follow him, What he was asking them to do was to follow him into a life of forgiveness. Everywhere he went, Jesus was forgiving people. From the woman at the well, to Zacchaeus, to the woman with the issue of blood. When he taught the disciples to pray, he taught them to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Matthew chapter 18, beginning verse 15, the Bible says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. It's interesting. We go from one person who's abiding in Christ asking whatever they will from the Lord and receiving it. Now, the Bible's telling us that if two or more are asking for something in the Lord, that they'll receive it. An abundant life is a life of forgiveness. Peter figures it out almost, right? Peter's catching on. He's going, man, you sure are a lot about forgiveness, Jesus. I'm curious, how often should I forgive somebody? Seven times? Right? I mean, he's got it figured out, almost. He realizes that what Jesus is asking them to follow is a life of forgiveness. And Peter's wondering just how much forgiveness that really is. And the Lord clears it up for him. He says, oh no, not just seven times. And not just 70 times seven. Jesus is saying, it's a life of forgiveness. When we forgive, we begin to live life more abundantly Because what we are really doing is inviting that person back into our petition to live a life for God's glory. Somebody who needs forgiveness. The opposite of forgiveness is bitterness. If we're bitter in our heart and in our life and in our attitude, are we truly asking God to give us more wisdom, more holiness, more of His righteousness? And when we forgive somebody, the Bible says we're two or more, two or three, are gathered together in my name. What we're doing is we're saying, hey, we don't want you to live without wisdom. We don't want you to live without holiness. We're going to forgive you. We want you to have more holiness. We want you to have more grace, more mercy. We need more grace, more mercy. We need forgiveness. We're not going to keep forgiveness from you. As we've been studying on Wednesday evenings in Galatians chapter 6, we discussed that in verse 2, the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore. Being spiritual is not about comparing prayer lives or Bible reading or memorization. Those are good things. Not comparing, but doing those things. Being spiritual, what it is saying, is being forgiving. Recognizing our own need for forgiveness. And that's why it says later on in the same verse, considering thyself. How many of us, when we've made a mistake or done something wrong and want forgiveness, are willing to do whatever it takes to get that forgiveness? How many of us are willing to give that forgiveness? To restore, to invite somebody back into a petition for God to give us more holiness, more of His righteousness, more of His grace. An abundant life is a life of forgiveness. Or to put it another way, like the Lord helped Peter, is a lifetime of forgiveness. You know, sometimes you're going to have to forgive somebody more than once. Sometimes you're going to have to forgive somebody for the same thing. Not necessarily because they did the same thing, but because in your heart you were trying to forgive them, but you wanted to get bitter about it again. The devil tried to bring it up and cause it to be a stumbling block for you again. So you have to go back and you have to forgive. It is a lifetime of forgiveness. But it's an abundant life. An abundant life is a life of freedom. It is a life of forgiveness. And it is a life of faith. Back in John chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In verse 28, the Bible says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Clearly, you and I can see how faith is for the life to come when we are forever in heaven with the Lord. Yet, none of us have seen Jesus, none of us have seen heaven, or anything at all in eternity. So we know that we must accept it by faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've not seen any of those things that are eternal. We have to accept it by faith. But that doesn't mean that we cannot have an abundant life on this earth. But we must do it by the same faith. When you look at the life of David, who was anointed to be king before he ever went to battle with Goliath. Yet when he fought Goliath, it was by faith. In other words, God had created, or God had given a greater purpose for David's life, and David trusted and believed in that purpose and decided to proceed by faith. Is why God called him a man after his own heart, because David wanted what God wanted. Now, obviously, David was still human and imperfect, but his victories in life came because he wanted and tried to live by faith. He wanted an abundant life. He knew an abundant life meant living a life of faith. Anytime someone seeks to live for the Lord and step out by faith, not knowing what the end result will be, they're taking the first steps toward an abundant life. Being a witness for Christ is a step of faith towards an abundant life. Being a spiritual mentor to somebody is a step of faith towards an abundant life. Being a servant for Christ is a step of faith towards an abundant life. Being a giver to God is a step of faith towards an abundant life. Being a believer in Christ is a step of faith towards an abundant life. And being a forgiver is a step of faith towards an abundant life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Our lives become so much more abundant when we live them by faith. God wants us to have abundant lives. It comes through having freedom in knowing His truth. It comes through living a life of forgiveness, a lifetime of forgiveness. And it comes through living a life of faith. Not just knowing Christ, not just putting our faith and trust in Christ for eternity, but understanding and recognizing He wants us to live by that exact same faith each and every day. It's an abundant life. It's there for each and every one of us. But it only comes through following God's plan. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we consider the message. It's not about our bank account. It's not about our possessions. It's not about our status. It's not about what we know or what we can achieve. It's about God's plan. It's about God's purpose. He's the one that provides freedom. He's the one that provides access to the Father. He is the door. When we live an abundant life, it's understanding the freedom that we have in Christ. He's taking care of our needs. He wants us to desire the same things He desires for our lives: holiness, righteousness, godliness with contentment, wisdom, peace, joy. All these things come from freedom, being free in Christ. Are your needs met? Have you been forgiven? An abundant life is a life of forgiveness. Have we experienced the forgiveness of God? Do we forgive others as readily? Doesn't mean have we ever forgiven. Like Peter, it's not about the number of times that we can count that we've forgiven. It's about a lifetime of forgiveness. Jesus was hanging on the cross. With His dying breaths, He said, "Father, forgive them. If he can forgive us, we can forgive others. And when we forgive, our lives are so much more abundant. We're moving past the bitterness. We're not wasting energy seeking revenge. We're inviting them back into a place of petitioning God for the things that we need more of. He's taking care of us. He wants our lives to be abundant. When others reflect on your life, is there an area that can be defined as having been lived by faith? Because you are trusting in the greater purposes of God, not knowing what the end result would be. An abundant life is a life of faith. Yes, putting your faith and trust in Christ for salvation, putting your faith and trust for eternity, but an abundant life here on this earth is a life of that exact same faith. We don't know what the end result will be when we try to witness to somebody. We don't know what the end result will be when we try to serve God by serving others. We don't know what the end result will be when we step out by faith to try and be a spiritual mentor to somebody. We don't know what the end result will be when we give the way God wants us to give. But we know it's an abundant life. We know it's a life filled with so much more joy, so much more meaning. Do you want to live life abundantly? You got to follow God's plan. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, you know the needs of each and every heart and each and every life that's here. And though we think we know what our needs are, Father, we ask that you would help us to understand what our needs truly are. Our need for your righteousness, for your holiness, for your grace, your mercy, to shine in and through our hearts and lives. Our need for humility. Our need for generosity, for hospitality. Our need to be more like Christ. God, help us to live a life more abundantly by following your plan and your purpose. By recognizing you as the key to our freedom in this world. By learning to forgive the way that you forgive. By having faith, stepping out of our comfort zone, not knowing what the end result will be, but trusting you. Because our motives are pure, our motives are following you. Wanting a life that's more abundant, that's more meaningful, that's more joyful because of what you do when we yield ourselves to you. God, help us to live more abundantly. We'll give you the praise and thanks for all you do. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Stand to our feet as we sing a hymn of invitation.